Good morning to you again. And as I have been pondering over this message about surrender, and you know, when you read it, you try to say, okay, how long I'm going to make it. But I have learned in my lifetime is you need to say what the Lord wants you to say and sit down. So, the subject I'm going to talk about is surrender. How many times have you heard the words, you have to surrender it all to Jesus? Probably you've heard that many times, haven't you? Do we really know what that means and how to do it? How many times have you tried what is considered surrendering all, only to be dealing with the same problem over and over and over again? And in some instances, the problem appears to be getting worse rather than getting better. When the subject of surrender came to me, I quickly went to the concordance, you know, to see, you know, how many times this word appeared in Scripture. Does anyone know how many times it appears? Anybody? To my surprise, it is not even in the Bible. So I use biblical dictionaries for definitions. And here's what I found about surrender. Surrender is dying to self or emptying oneself to allow Christ to live through us. Completely giving up our own will and subjecting our thoughts, our ideas, our words and deeds to the will and teaching of Christ. Now, what I did find were words in the Bible that were synonymous or from the context of the verse would be mean surrender. And these words are to submit, to die, to crucify, to deny, to humble. In Colossians 3:3, it states, "For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Galatians 5:21 says, "And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and its desires." James tells us, "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time." The word surrender is a battle term, and it usually is not associated with a positive action. It implies giving up all rights to the conqueror, who is Jesus Christ. When an opposing army surrenders, they lay down their arms, and the winner takes control from there on. Surrendering to God works the very same way. God has a plan for our lives, and surrendering to him means we set aside our own plans and eagerly accept his. The good news, though, is that God's plan for us is always in our best interest, as it is stated in Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord, a plan of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." His plan is unlike our own plans that often leads to destruction. As Solomon states that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Our Lord is a wide and is a wise and beneficent victor. He conquers us to bless us when we surrender to him. I will just give you one example of a patriot in the Old Testament who had to surrender to God. We usually relate to him as being the father of faith. But here we are talking about Abram before he becomes Abraham. Look at how he had to surrender to God. First of all, God asked him to get out of his homeland, out of the country of Ur, and to go to a place that he would show him. Abraham had to surrender his security. He had to surrender leaving his family. He had to surrender a place of familiarity to him because he was leaving Ur, and God had not at that time told him where he should go. Abram did what some of us sometimes do, is that when he got halfway on his journey, he decided, I'll stop here in Haran. And there he did stop and abide for about five years. But now in that pause is the time when affliction and trials came upon him, because he had not totally surrendered to doing what God had told him to do. But after his father died, God again told Abram to now leave here and go into the land of Canaan, and the land which is between the Euphrates and Canaan. And there I will give you all of the land of which you set your feet upon. Here again, Abraham had to surrender to God. He had to listen to what God had to say. So he left Haran and he went to Canaan. And when he got to Canaan, you know, it wasn't as if Canaan was a land where there was nobody there, that it was uninhabited. It was a land that was inhabited by many people. But yet God told him that all of this land would belong to him. Another way in which Abram surrendered to God is that he did not consider his own rights. He said to his nephew, Lot, choose whatever land it is that you want. He said, if you go, choose the land on the left, I'll choose the land on the right. Here again, he surrendered his right because he was the patriarch of the family, and it would have been his first choice to choose the best of what there was. But yet, he surrendered to God. He surrendered and let Lot choose the better of the land. And the one that we know oh so well is that God had promised Abram, had promised him that he would have a son. And now he was in his old age. And he was beginning to wonder if God had made a mistake. But he surrendered himself, and God gave him that promised child. But after giving him that promised child, he then told him that he was going to ask him to sacrifice that, his one and only heir, the one whom he said that he would make him a father of many nations, a father, you know, that he would make him that would be more plentiful than the sands of the sea. Yet he surrendered, or he was obedient to what God would have him to do. And he took his son, and he took him with the intent of sacrificing him. But as he surrendered to God, he realized, he said, God does not lie. He promised me that he would give me a son. So he knew somehow that even though he was supposed to sacrifice Isaac, that God would indeed return his son to him. When we think about surrendering to God, we usually think of terms of letting God do what he wants for us in situations, in circumstances. And this is certainly a good thing to do. God wants us to surrender our situations and circumstances to him. But more than this, God wants us to surrender ourselves. And as I was doing this, I was thinking about, even in my prayer life, was a lot of times I prayed about surrendering circumstances, surrendering situations to God, when what he really and truly wanted from me was for me to surrender myself to him. Yet it is important for us to grasp the meaning of surrendering ourselves. For again, we often think that this means, well, I will die to myself and put aside what I want in this thing and allow God to do as he pleases. Again, this is good, but it is still isn't the real issue. To surrender ourselves to God means we will let God do in us whatever is necessary to get himself glory and whatever is necessary to make us into the person that he wants us to be. I hope we see that this is much different than surrendering a situation to God. What I am talking about here is more than surrendering things to God. Do you say, well, I will surrender, you know, not eating this, or I'll surrender this. You know, we want to dictate what it is that we want to surrender to God. I am talking about surrendering ourselves to God. There is no standing back. There is no simple cooperation with God. Rather, the whole issue is my relationship with God. I, our whole self, is falling into the hands of God so that he can make us be what he wants through the current situation. Actually, this is what Paul means when he talks about giving ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. As our scripture verses were today, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is being described in this scripture here is not the surrender of a situation or a circumstance. It is the surrender of the person. If we do this, we are saying to God, Lord, I relinquish. I surrender my right to be what I think I ought to be. And you know, the world teaches us this so much differently, because what some of the first things that it asks us is, oh, what is it that you want to be? And sometimes we don't know what it is that we want to be. But what if we surrender ourselves to God, he will tell us what it is that he would like for us to do. We will say, we fall into your hands so that you can make us be what you want us to be. This will result in God's glory and, of course, in our freedom. Now, this ought to be good news to us, because if we surrender to God, it means that it takes out of our hands the pressure of trying to be what we think we should be. It takes off of us the necessity of trying to have faith. As you will remember, the apostles in Luke said, Lord, increase our faith. It removes the fear that you might not know what you need to know and to come through to the will of God in any manner. It puts all of that in God's hand. In effect, we simply surrender ourselves to God, and He does the rest. But the carnal man makes that very hard for us to do, because we always want to think that we belong to ourselves. I'm not saying we need not believe and obey as much as possible right where we are, but we must realize that true surrender is that we have a relationship with God. Of course, when we make such a surrender to God, we are really telling Him to crucify in us whatever He must do in order that Christ in us might be made manifest to us, in us, and through us. Sure, this isn't about us becoming a wonderful specimen. It is about God doing what it takes to get us out of the way, to crucify self and to manifest Christ. And the fact is, it is always God's goal that we should manifest Christ in the things that we do and say. There is the song that says that we need to make Christ seen and known in us. He wants us to be the living epistle of what it means for God to have His way with human beings. According to the New Testament, if we are Christ's, then we are really His, and we no longer belong to ourselves. There is no such thing in the Bible as a Christian that belongs to himself. That's a hard idea to get our grasp in our minds. Although much of the battle and the source of the problem is that despite this, we as Christians continue to act as if we belong to ourselves. But Scripture tells us differently. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, 19 to 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Peter tells us in the first chapter, the 18th and 19th verse, for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. To surrender to God is not supposed to be something extra we do for God, sort of like, oh, I guess I'm going to go the extra mile. No, a surrender to God, rather, is supposed to be characterized by our relationship with Him, with our relationship with Him. We are to become a surrendered person to God. This ought to once dash to pieces the notion that we can accept Jesus as our Savior and ignore Him as our personal Lord. A lot of us want it, all of us, I think most people out there want Jesus to be their Savior, but they don't want Him to be their Lord. And for Him to be their Lord, be our Lord, we must surrender ourselves. We must surrender ourselves to Him. It is actually all or nothing for Jesus. When we accept him as our Savior, we are giving him all of us. He is our Lord. Indeed, the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit by which we receive the very life of Christ, is to make Jesus Lord of us in practical experiences. As a surrendered person, the Holy Spirit is going to seek to make us realize this, to act it, to live it, and he will use practical circumstances. So what we see is that when we are brought into situations that cause for us to surrender, we are really being brought into practical outworking of what really is. So many Christians, and I think we do this without realizing it, think that they continue to belong to themselves. I don't mean it in a rebellious way. Not even in an ignorant way. We walk as if we belong to ourselves, and when it comes time to surrender to God, we think of this in terms of us graciously giving God permission to do what he wants in our lives. Almost as if by faith, we open ourselves up to God for his will, and then think that we deserve some credit for doing this. We take pride in the fact that we have surrendered, and many of us make martyrs of ourselves for doing so. It may never occur to us that this betrays a blindness to the truth. We think in terms of our life and of God wanting to do in our lives certain things and of us letting him do that, almost as if God is here to service us, and we are here to open ourselves for it. The truth is, we don't have a life anymore once we surrender to Jesus. The truth is, we don't have a life anymore according to what we have seen about belonging to God. And God is not here to service us. He is really here to glorify himself through us. And we are here to worship him. Of course, this will all result in benefit to us. But we get things backwards sometimes in our thinking. Because surrender is not a matter of a once and a while of letting God in our lives. Rather, it is based in the truth. It is a matter of God always being in us. We need to stop acting as if we own ourselves. In the much of the battle and the source of our surrender problem comes when we seek not to crucify ourselves and our passions in this world. It has in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 states, "What? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Much of the battles that we have is because we want to continue to think of it as our life, our family, our money. But it is not ours. As Galatians 2:20 states, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Surrender is not a matter, as I said, of us once in a while letting God in. It is the continual crucifying and relinquishing of our entire self, our whole being, our thoughts, words, deeds, and action to let God do whatever is necessary to glorify Christ in and through us. It is going to be Christ seen in and through us. Jesus stated, as I come to a conclusion, in Luke 9:23 through 24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And I took that same verse and I substituted those synonyms that I had listed in the beginning that talks about surrender. If anyone desires to come after me, let him submit himself and take up his cross and follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him crucify himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him humble himself and take up his cross and follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him die to himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him surrender himself and take up his cross and daily follow me. So we realize that to surrender, we have to do it wholeheartedly. There is no half-stepping. There's no three-fourths stepping. There's no 99.9% stepping. It is that we must surrender all to him. And the wonderful thing about this is that Jesus has said that his grace is sufficient for us. For his strength is made perfect in weakness, or in our surrendering to him. Have you been burdened with things in your life? Is it because you've only given it to God half-heartedly? Or is it because, as sometimes I do, I give it to him and I snatch it right back? So we must surrender to God, because when we surrender to him, he has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised us that, as we would say, as the young folks said, is that the bag is on him. It's no longer on us, because we have said, "Lord, I give myself to you. I give myself away. Do with me what you will. And give me the faith and the trust to obey what you have asked me to do." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that in your word you have shown us, Lord, that we must surrender, we must crucify, we must die, we must deny, we must humble, we must submit ourselves to your will, so that you can do the work in us that we cannot do for ourselves, and that we can be confident, Lord, that when we have given our all to you, you will do that great work in us that will allow us to let Jesus be seen and known in us by our thoughts, by our words, by our deeds, and that you will make it so that Christ will be manifested to the world, and there will be many of those who will desire to seek him as their Savior and their Lord. Amen.